Kind of continuing with our theme of broken and coming on to some verses in Jeremiah, picking up from where we heard earlier. This is Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 1 to 3 and 10 to 11. Thus said the Lord, go and buy a potter's earthenware jug. Take with you some of the elders of the people and some of the senior priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom at the entry of the potsherd gate and proclaim there the words that I tell you. You shall say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I am going to bring such disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. Then you shall break the jug in the sight of those who go with you and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so will I break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel so that it can never be mended. Thank you, God, for the gift of your word. My mother collected decorative state plates. Whenever she and my father traveled, they'd go to a souvenir shop and she would get a plate for that particular state that they were in, or my brothers and I or her friends would get one for her when we traveled. At one point, I think she might have had a plate for every state except perhaps Hawaii and Alaska. When she passed away, my brother said, we don't want the plates, but don't get rid of them. The plates were mounted on a pegboard in the basement. One day, and I swear I was upstairs and the dog was upstairs too, one day I heard a crash in the basement and I ran downstairs to find that the pegboard had somehow fallen over. I swear I was nowhere near it. And broken pieces of plates were all over the floor. I briefly thought about gluing some of them back together, but soon I realized how futile that would be because some of the pieces were tiny, too small to glue, and others were too smashed to salvage. So somewhat sadly, I swept it all up and threw the pieces away. I've often said Jeremiah is my favorite prophet. He's the one who, you remember, was stuck in the well. He's the one who bought a field. He's the one who wore a yoke. The cool thing about Jeremiah was whenever God told him to do something, to act out a prophecy, to give the people a spiritual illustration, Jeremiah did it without arguing. He didn't say, God, I will look like a fool if I go around the city wearing a yoke. He didn't say, God, the people won't get what you're trying to say if I act it out, so why do you make me do these things? He did say at one point, I can't do it anymore. I can't prophesy for you anymore, God. Everybody hates me and nobody listens to me. And then he turned around and said, I can't not speak. The word of the Lord is like a fire inside my belly. I just can't hold it in. Jeremiah was totally obedient to and in tune with God. So when God said to him, go buy an earthenware jug, that's what Jeremiah did. He went and bought an earthenware jug. He didn't say, why do you want me to buy a jug? He went and he bought it. When God said to him, get some of the elders and the priests and go to the valley of the son of Hinnom, Jeremiah didn't answer, why in the world would you want me to take them there? You see, the valley of Hinnom was a terrible, terrible place. Hinnom is southeast of the temple in Jerusalem. In the past, the people of Israel made child sacrifices to the false god Molech there, burning their children in the fire there, something God said he did not command, nor did it even come into God's mind, the idea of sacrificing children. God never had and never would demand human sacrifice. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. It was also the place later in Jerusalem's history where trash was burned and there was a continual burning fire. In Greek, Hinnom is Gehenna, a word used to mean hell, the pit where the fire is never quenched. So God basically wanted Jeremiah to show the elders and priests hell on earth. Jeremiah might have wanted to rebel and say, no, God, I can't take them there, that nasty place. But God had a message to give to the leaders and the people, a stark message they needed to hear and heed. Jeremiah didn't know what God wanted him to say until he led the group out of the potsherd gate, where potters would throw out their ruined or broken wares. There before them lay that wretched valley. And Jeremiah delivered the message from God. A time was soon to come when Jerusalem would be overthrown and overrun and overpowered by a strong enemy. So many people would be slain that this very place, this place called Hinnom, would become known as the Valley of Slaughter. The desperate people would resort to cannibalism, and the city itself would become a horror. Everyone who passed it would be disgusted and would hiss because of all its disasters. It would be a place of dismay and scoffing. And to show the finality of the prophecy and how utterly irreparable Jerusalem's destruction would be, Jeremiah broke the earthenware jug he had bought. The pieces were shattered and scattered. There was no way to put them back together. They were already at the potsherd gate, the trash heap, so Jeremiah could toss the pieces right out then and there in front of everyone. It was a stark message for the elders and priests who were watching. The swiftness of the breakage was stark and startling. The end of Israel would be utterly devastating and unsalvageable. I had a teacher in high school who was a potter, and he taught me how to throw a pot. The best part is when you have that lump of wet clay on the wheel, and as it's spinning, you wrap your hands around it, and there's a point where the pot is centered, and then you can shape it into a bowl or a vase or a dish. The people have been shaped into vessels that were supposed to be filled with God's precious things, such as goodness and truth. Instead, they filled themselves with evil and lies. They were no longer centered around God, so God had to relegate them to the smoldering ash heap. Life without God, life in exile, would indeed be hell on earth. I'm sure many of us have broken something, a plate, a vase, a mug, a glass, and for a tense moment, we looked down at the pieces and thought, well, maybe I can glue them back together. It's worth a shot. The thing is, if you do gather all the pieces and put them back together like a puzzle and then get out the Gorilla Glue, the broken plate, the vase, the mug, or glass just isn't going to be the same. You're going to see the cracks if you try to fill the item with water. You're going to see some leaks. Piecing it back together wouldn't be worth the effort. God was telling the people of Israel that things were never going to be the same again. They had broken covenant with God, so God was going to break them. There would be no gathering of the pieces and a frantic fitting of them together once more. They thought they were strong. They thought they would never be broken. Instead, their ruination would be complete. They were going to be trash in God's eyes. I'm sure God felt as sad about doing that as I felt throwing away the plates my mother had collected over the years. Do you think God wanted to do this? Devastate God's chosen people and send them out of the land God had prepared specifically for them? Of course not. It broke God's heart to break Israel like this. The people would not listen or learn. God had no other choice. For God, the time had come to teach faithless Israel a lesson. God had given the people certain rules, regulations, and commandments, and they turned their back on every one of them and on God. God had taken care of Israel, brought them out of bondage and into a broad, wide, fruitful land. And how did Israel repay God's generosity? They started worshiping the gods the neighboring nations followed, forsaking the one God who had shown them power and love and compassion. This broke God's heart. So God had to break Israel. A time of exile and punishment was coming. They had a chance to repent, but they were hardened. They'd once been malleable like watery clay on a potter's wheel, but now they had been fired in the kiln and they were inflexible. The only way to change them was to break them. The people would be scattered and shattered, but their exile would also serve as a time for them to repent and realize how good they had it with God. Only after they learned their lesson would God relent and return them to the promised land. Only then would they be humbled and contrite and ready to become what God had always meant for them to be, God's very own people who worshiped only God, God's very own precious pottery filled with God's love and truth and mercy. I imagine if God had wanted to take the broken pottery that represented Israel and repair it, God would have done so. The glue God would have used, God's own love, compassion, righteousness, and mercy, would have been perfect. There would have been no cracks. There would have been no leaks. The earthenware jug would have been as good as new, maybe even better, stronger, and no one would be able to tell it had ever been broken. God is our glue. In our lives, we have gone astray from God and turned our backs on God. We were broken, shattered, cracked. Then God came along and found us and put us back together. God's glue healed us. God's glue is the blood of Christ that covers all our sins and shortcomings. God's glue left no cracks or leaks. You can't tell there was ever a break. God's glue left us good as new, maybe even better, stronger. We heard about the potter who made different vessels, some good, some not so good, some kept and set aside to be fired, some reshaped on the potter's wheel into something else, some for everyday use, some for special use. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, "All who cleanse themselves of the things I have mentioned will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work." Of course, the things Paul meant were all the sins and bad habits and shortcomings he constantly corrected the followers about. And of course, the owner of the house is God, who mends us and polishes us up and gets us ready to do great things in God's name, preparing us to carry the gospel wherever we go and to pour it out without any leaks, preparing us to put our hearts on a platter and offer them to the world, shaping us into bowls full of goodness, faith, and compassion, formed in the right way, filled with the right things, repaired with the matchless strength of God's glue. We are ready and willing and able to be the vessels God has chosen to bring hope and healing to the world. Broken as we are or may have once been, God does not throw us out on the trash heap and say, "I'm through with you. There's no repairing you, no restoring you. You are of no use to me anymore." God doesn't deem anything unsavable. God is the ultimate recycler. Back when Hurricane Katrina devastated Louisiana, Week of Compassion with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ went in to help with the cleanup and repair and rebuilding. Someone, I can't remember who, made it their mission to gather up as many pieces of broken pottery, glassware, and dishware he could find. And he molded these beautiful crosses out of the broken pieces. What had appeared to be trash, useless, bothersome, was refashioned into works of art that reminded the people dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane that there was hope, and there was help, and there would be healing. What is, after all, more hopeful and helping and healing than a cross that helps us remember God's gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, God's perfect vessel of love, whose sole purpose was to pour himself out for us and over us to repair and perfect us and put us to work for God. My advice to you today, and I'm sure Jeremiah would agree with me, if you feel broken and shattered, thrashed and trashed, don't despair. Don't throw yourself on the garbage heap. There's still hope for you. Just get yourself some God glue. Let us pray. Our prayer today, God, is the words of the old song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Mold us and make us after your will. While we are waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Amen. You all, again, as always and ever, may God be the glue that holds you together. These are tough times. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know What's going to fall apart next? But God is the glue that holds us all together. Cling to God and believe in God. And remember, you never walk alone. Go in peace. Amen.